Epic Games is now getting in the game publishing business with some very appealing terms for developers. Plus, after 13 long years, we finally have a new Half-Life. Tonight is March 29th, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
It's a good question, Breakman. How hard is it to wash a hog? You should do it for at least 20 seconds, says HDI Andrew. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on Twitch, welcome. We actually tape this show live on Twitch every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. You can join in on all the hogwash puns every single weekend. We are here. If you can't join us live, that's fine. We are here on the podcast feed, just like we always have been for almost 15 years now. And you can still go over to our Discord and comment during the week, or go to our website, vognetwork.com. To join our Discord, go to vognetwork.com/Discord. That gets you the invite into our server. And we have some text chat channels, and we talk about things throughout the week. Some of it actually comes in, and we actually talk about a little bit on the show. So we got a big show tonight. I will say, late breaking news. I don't know when it's going to happen, but last week I made a plea for Tommy Tallarico of the president and CEO of Intellivision Entertainment, the founder of Video Games Live, prolific game composer, one of my first guests back in 2006 on this show, made a plea for him to answer my emails, and he finally did. So we're working out details to get Tommy Tallarico on the show sometime in the next couple of weeks. He wants to do it sooner rather than later. I don't know when that's going to be, but we finally have actually connected. And I actually posted like a 2-minute version of the 5-minute segment from last week and put it on Twitter and tagged him and told, you know, said, "Senpai, notice me." And he noticed me finally. So it's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. Pod Culture says, prepare your drinks. There is going to be VR chat. That's why my VR headset is right here next to me. I didn't put it back to where it usually stays in the back because I was playing it a little bit today. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. It's on the sidebar. You can see if you're watching on Twitch. You know when we'll get to it. But let's go ahead and get to some viewer comments from previous episodes. People who can't be here live on Sunday nights, which I totally understand. It is Sunday night. Worst time in the world to do something like this. But they contribute during the week, and I really do thank them. So E3VL has written us about some stuff on Animal Crossing, because I was talking a little bit about Animal Crossing last week. I am a cheating cheater who cheats, or at least I was. I am not anymore. And it turns out I didn't cheat all that well, because people who didn't cheat actually are farther along in their Animal Crossing timeline than I am. So cheaters never win, and I'm one of them that did not win. But he wrote in, E3VL... says that his island is oranges. I do not have oranges yet on my island. And he says about selling stuff, you can lose 20% of stuff if you sell after 10 p.m. Because I was complaining, I usually play at night. But you can always hoard items until the next day by using storage in your house. Or you could just pile them all up outside the shop, because you can actually drop items around in the actual area, like in the overworld for the first time. So you can just pile it up in his shop and then try to log in before he goes, when they open the next day. He is also admitting that he is a cheating cheater who cheats, but instead of time travel shenanigans like me, he clones tarantulas and sells them for profit, but it was patched out now. Yes. So the version 1.1.1 patch of Animal Crossing got rid of the dupe glitch that everybody found. So, oh, well. But here's how you get tarantulas And as far as I know, this is a foolproof way, and it's legal. So you get one of those at night. You go to one of those nook islands, like the randomly generated islands. And apparently, if you remove all the trees, you remove all the flowers, you remove all the weeds, and you destroy all the rocks, you get rid of everything, the only thing that can spawn are tarantulas. And so tarantulas will just continually spawn, but you have to get rid of every tree, every rock, every flower, every weed, everything on the island needs to go. And then the only thing that can spawn are tarantulas. And they sell for 8,000 bells each. I'm sure the Nook kids love giving you 8,000 bells for tarantulas. My wife is also a cheating cheater who cheats, and she still hasn't caught up to the current day, and because she's a little bit more new to the Animal Crossing life. But like, she'd be like, yeah, I only played one day today. Like, she played like 6 hours and she didn't advance the day once. I'm like, so why are you time traveling again? And I don't know. But I think she's now finally going to be on real time. So she only gained like 3 days, but she also had all the guides. So she's farther along in her island than I am in mine. So maybe when she cheats, she wins. And when I cheat, I don't win. Breakman says, Bobby Darth Wolf is corrupting his wife. Hey. Yes. Questbush says, I feel like I should be playing Animal Crossing hearing this. It is just... You lean back, you lay back, and you just, it's kind of zen. It's, even though I know Stardew Valley came later, and Stardew Valley is more like Harvest Moon, it's a little more zen than Stardew Valley, because Stardew Valley has a day-night cycle, and you're worried about time management. And this, it's like, I could play for 30 minutes in a day, or I could play for several hours in a day. So that was what he was saying about Animal Crossing. He also mentioned something, because I'm going to have to go through this. So I am going to be talking a little bit about what's going on in the world, and I'm waving my arms frantically. We can't avoid it. I know that this is going to be a respite from all that stuff for a lot of you, but it's still important to cover a little bit of it. So this is the part of the show where we're going to be talking a little bit about what's going on in the world, the whole overarching storyline of planet Earth in March and April of 2020. He actually talked about how he did the curbside pickup at Best Buy, and this is good for me to know, because I am taking part in this, because I'm getting Persona 5 Royal from Best Buy on Tuesday, and because we're not in a shelter in place here, so we're not in a hot spot right now. So I know some people are saying that I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to be doing the curbside pickup. I'm not going to get out of my metal box with wheels. I'll be fine. And he actually explained what the experience was. And so he said, in order to get a curbside pickup from Best Buy, this is how it works. And I'll verify this on Tuesday. He says, you have to show your QR code through your car's window with the window rolled up. You can't roll down your window. Once they confirm order, you pop your trunk. They place the item in the trunk. They ask you if you want to inspect the package or want them to close the trunk. For if you want to inspect it, you have to wait until they walk several feet away before you're allowed to get out of your car to check. For the latter, you can just drive off once they close the trunk. He felt like he was doing something really shady and illegal and had to make transactions with germaphobes. Which, yes, everybody is rightfully being a germaphobe right now. So, he's also said, side note, gas stations around me no longer do self-service. They get upset if you touch the pump handle. That I can get. Luckily, I am fortunate in life. I have privilege. I haven't used a gas pump in 5 years. Hashtag humblebrag. Fifth Dream Today said, got an email from Amazon. Don't count on Persona. Amazon is actually... This is something to know about Amazon right now, is that they are delaying all non-essential shipments, which video games are non-essential. You can argue with me until you're blue in the face, but video games are non-essential. So now if you order something from Amazon, you're not going to get it till May. Prime shipping is basically delayed for all non-essential items until May right now. So that's why I went the Best Buy route. Plus, I still have the Gamers Club Ultimate, so... Persona 5 Royal is $47 instead of $59. I'm going to go out. It's going to let me get out of the house for about 10 minutes in my big metal box with wheels. Rob Roberts says, curbside pickups doesn't sound any worse than restaurant pickups that I did last night in a shelter-in-place state. And Questbuster says, so roll up to Best Buy like Jason Statham from The Transporter. Got it. I wish my car, like once I said, I understand, privilege. I'm very privileged. I don't actually have the automatic lift gate on my car. That's the one thing I wish that I did spring for when I bought the car, where like I press a button and it opens, and then I press a button and close, and then they wouldn't have to touch my car at all. But I don't have that. I'm only at the 95% privilege level. I'm not at the 100% privilege level. MZ Ultra says GameStop disagrees with games being non-essential. I know they do, but they're all closed right now. So sucks for the employees. Because I also read something. It wasn't in the show roll, but I know that GameStop's going to be looking to close 350 locations during all this. And part of that's probably because of what's going on in the world. And the other part is GameStop's been losing profits for quite a while. So they've already been kind of hanging by a thread. But that does suck for all the employees that work at those places, that they're probably just going to close those locations and just not reopen them when they're allowed to reopen. And Tiger Claw says, if you need to get a game, just buy it digitally. And I agree on that. I am making a choice, and I understand that my choice will upset some people, but also realize I work from home. I'm pretty much quarantined anyway, and it's still okay to walk outside of your house. It's just stay away from other people. So, you know, even doctors will tell you it's okay. You should actually go out and take a walk. Maybe not if you're in Georgia right now, because we had our second highest pollen count in recorded history here in Georgia. It was like 8,600 or something, and anything over 100 is bad. So maybe today I didn't go outside, but that was because of the yellow stuff. It's yellow season now. I know I am making a choice, but I am also doing it in such a way that I won't infect others, because then I'm going to come home and probably not leave the house again for a week or two. Tire Claw says, I heard they extended the guidelines for the social distancing or physical distancing, whatever you want to call it, until April 30th. The CDC always said, when they initially put out their no large gatherings thing, they initially said until May 4th. So that was the original, that was the date I was looking at, was May 4th. This isn't going to be over in 2 weeks. And with the way that things are going now, it shouldn't be over in 2 weeks. We should not be back opening things up in next week or anything like that. But I am also not a medical expert. I'm not a medical doctor. So don't make your plans based on what I say. And Breakman says, I feel bad for the employees that are losing their jobs, but I'm sure most of them weren't oblivious to the struggles of GameStop. No, I don't think they were. I think they knew the way the ship was going, and they were just hoping to be able to ride it out, I'm sure. So what else is going on during this time is because during all this, gatherings are banned in a lot of places. So what are sports doing? Well, we talked a little bit about this last week, and it was really interesting to see that everybody was very receptive to this for the first time, and it's that sports are actually turning to esports now. So either some networks are airing previous sporting events, and some have decided to still air new things but using video games. We talked a little bit about it last week because NASCAR still ran their NASCAR race, but they ran it using iRacing. And they ran it using, because all the drivers have iRacing rigs for training. And so they have these set up in their house. And so they did an online iRacing race on the Homestead Miami course, which is the NASCAR race that would have been running last weekend. And everybody loved it, which is such a change from when ABC airs the Overwatch League and everybody's like, why is this on my TV? Or when ESPN ran League of Legends or Heroes of the Storm, everybody would be like, why is this on ESPN? You know, when they applaud the spelling bee being on ESPN. But I digress. The BBC reports that television outlets are getting into the action. In the U.S., more than 900,000 viewers tuned in for the inaugural eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational Series on Fox Sports. The network said that it will host an entire series of stock car races, replacing the ones lost due to this pandemic. For esports regulars like Johan Sundstein, who it is an amusing turn of events, the 26-year-old, known online as No Tail with a zero, tops the rankings as the most successful esports player of all time, netting almost $7 million so far in prize money playing Dota 2. And he says, quote, "We've had this eternal conflicts of sports versus esports, and we've been accused of copying from the sports scene, and now we see that the sports are taking a note out of the esports world, which I find kind of funny," unquote. And my age, I'm 29 plus, but my age, and I'm like, wait, isn't Fatality with a one like the most accomplished esports player? No, he's not. That's when I was like, oh yeah, esports. It was when Fatality with a one was playing, probably about 29 years ago. HDI Andrew says, "We just wrapped up the Georgia Esports League Championship. The final match was a tight Smite game between Georgia Tech and Georgia State University." Well, go Panthers. I can't believe that I was able to say that first school name without anything in my mouth. And I'm kind of sad that my dogs didn't make it in there. But no, I mean, it's great for the students there. And I'm glad that that was there. And because we are here in Georgia, it is... it's actually against the law for me to mention something like League of Legends and not bring in a Smite reference, just like I can't really mention Overwatch without a Paladins reference, and I can't mention Fortnite without a Realm Royale mention. It actually is in the law. The governor signed it into law at some point last year. It was House Bill 31337, and I have to follow the law. I don't make the rules. I just follow them. HDI Andrew says, "GSU is the reigning Smite national champion." Congratulations to them. When I was at DreamHack, I actually watched, I can't remember what, it might have been Dota or something. It was League of Legends, and I think it was my alma mater, University of Georgia, against Kennesaw State University, and KSU won. So it was just another long line of disappointments of Georgia sports that I've lived through. It was kind of like the esports version of Second and 26. Tua. Don't like you, Tua. Still don't like you. SJ Runner Matt says, "Sports games are definitely getting some attention now during this time. As a sports gamer, I like to see it." And he actually made a comment, and I actually put this in here. So, like I said, we do actually have talk during the week on our Discord. And SJ Runner Matt actually put something in here as a tangent, which I think is a good thing to bring up, is that sports games are definitely going to be getting some attention now during this time. Hate to be a Debbie Downer. So this is the segment of Debbie Downer. This is the segment where we get to do this. But I think we're going to see next year's crop of sports games to suffer from this pandemic. I'm sure development time is being impacted. Granted, all game development in general is impacted during this, but for sports games that are on a yearly cycle, I'm sure it's a mess. As a sports gamer, I think about these things. Yes, and all game development's going to be affected by this, because even though you can work from home and you can develop things from home, and I'm sure that a lot of indie developers work from home and use remote tools. Like I said, I'm a software developer, and I've been working from home since 2006. So it's possible, but when you're used to working in an office environment where you've got your whiteboards and you can just be instantly collaborative with other people, and you can look over the shoulder of the artist to see what they're doing and have that camaraderie to immediately switch from that to everybody's working from home, that is going to take a development hit. Just because it's possible doesn't mean it's easy to do, and it's something you can turn on like that. So, yes, things like this are going to be happening. Also, you know, I think there was the NBA game, NBA 2K game, had some of its simulations busted because it uses live game data, and the season was cut short. I haven't picked up MLB The Show 20 yet. That's the one game, the sports game that I play pretty religiously. And because NCAA football is not a video game anymore, so now it's MLB. But they even had live data and stuff like that. So I don't know actually how they're handling all this right now, because they will bring in live data statistics and things like that. And I know, like, Football Manager on the soccer side, they'll bring in live transfers during the transfer window and all that stuff. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that all works, because they just assume the real games are going to happen and they're going to have that data. It's really interesting. Now, one thing I will say that I know people do out there is, because I was actually playing NCAA football, I think it was 2013 was the last one, on my Xbox 360, which I actually have up here in my office, and I looked on Twitch, and there are actually Twitch streamers that actually simulate the season. They will put in all the current players, and in that game you could even like realign all the divisions and set the schedules and everything like that. And they actually do sim the seasons, and they actually have commentators and stuff like that. So we may actually see that if, heaven forbid, the fall sports get canceled, because there is a chance we will never see Tom Brady as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. There's a chance that's never going to happen, because there's a chance that they won't be able to get back soon enough to get the practices in to start the seasons in August and September. There's a chance. Nobody's said anything yet. I think it's too early to make that call, but there's a chance that that could happen. And then what we'd see is probably using these simulations. They'll use Madden. They'll use NCAA Football 2013 to sim what would the season be like. Imagine, if you will, Tom Brady was a Tampa Bay Buccaneer and Todd Gurley was an Atlanta Falcon. How would the NFC South shake out? What if I told you? This is going to be an ESPN 30 for 30 if it doesn't happen. SJ Matt says, NHL is doing this. They're playing the rest of the season via NHL 20. Yeah, I do know an activity that's near and dear to my heart did get canceled. Drum Corps International, Drum Bugle Corps. I actually went out to Gen Con last year in Indianapolis, and right after that was the DCI Finals in Indianapolis. And so I went there. So Drum and Bugle Corps, it's basically it's marching bands without the woodwinds. And it's like only kids who are 18 to 21 years old, so they're running around, and it's really high energy and stuff, and they canceled the whole season. And so I know that a lot of kids are upset about that, because this might have been their last year. They are extending a year of eligibility. You now age out at 22 instead of 21, and they're going to be even honoring contracts of people who have auditioned and made a core, so they could come back next year and not have to worry. But I do feel for those kids that lost that activity, because they basically needed to start showing up for camp in May, and there's no way that's going to happen right now. And another thing that's been postponed, not canceled yet, and I bring this up because I have a vested interest in this a little bit, which also means I'm not going to know how I did for a while. But Summer Games Done Quick, which was going to be in June, has been postponed to August. So August 16th through 23rd is going to be Summer Games Done Quick. It's still going to be in Bloomington, Minnesota. And what they're actually going to be doing is they're going to be wiping all the submissions, game submissions, so everybody's got to resubmit. All the volunteer applications are going to get canceled. So the volunteers are going to actually have to reapply. But if you already did an audition to host, which I did, then those will still be accepted. Now it looks like April 29th to May 9th, I'm going to have to remember to reapply, because I am available those dates and I'm still willing to fly up there. And August is going to be a little bit easier for things should be back on schedule somewhat by August, maybe not fully open, but it should be fine enough in August. So they're going to be doing that. But then there's also going to be another called Corona Relief Done Quick. It's going to be April 17th through 19th. It's going to be online only, but it's also going to have donations and stuff. And so everything is going to go to Direct Relief, a humanitarian aid organization with a mission to improve the health and lives of people affected by poverty or emergencies. So they're currently taking game submissions for that, and that is an online thing where people are doing it from home. They have restreaming setups, so basically I think the way they do it is the person who's actually doing the run streams on their own Twitch channel, and then the Game's Done Quick embeds that on their stream, and they do some magic. I don't know how all that works, but they're going to be doing that. And then the actual event, which takes place in a hotel ballroom with people all in the same place, that's going to be in August. And hopefully maybe I'll be a host. Maybe I'll be up there. I don't know. I know a bunch of people have watched my audition because I can see the numbers on my unlisted YouTube video. But I don't know how I did yet. And they haven't communicated anything directly to us. I'm just going by the stuff that's out there in public. And Questbuster says the ESA, which I believe in this instance is the European Speedrunning Association or agency, because the ESA is the Entertainment Software Association, and it's what I think of first with E3 and stuff, but I think it's the European Speedrunning Association, something like that. They also postponed ticket sales for their summer event. We'll be making a decision in May on what to do with the summer ESA, and they're also doing an April online-only event. Breakman says, I honestly think a lot of these companies should start switching to online only. And I disagree. And, I mean, I get, like, maybe in the short term. But there is still something to be said about having a shared experience with a bunch of people in the same space. And I understand that people maybe that are very introverted and maybe don't like large crowds, which that is a totally valid thing. I've got friends that don't like large crowds. I can get why you're like, hey, everything should be online because it's fine. Like, this is how it should be, and this is more comfortable. There is something to be said about having a shared experience with a bunch of people. And this, what's going on, will pass. I don't know when. It's not going to be in the next 2 weeks, but it's going to pass. And so I don't – it's really surreal right now because now we're getting all the television commercials for people who actually still watch television and don't cut the cord, where now like all the fast food chains have their television commercials about their contactless delivery. And, you know, in these uncertain times, you can still get Burger King. And it's really surreal, and it's going to be one of those things in a couple years we're going to look back, and I hope there's going to be like a YouTube compilation of all these contactless direct delivery commercials. And yes, we still have takeout and these restaurants that are promoting their takeout instead of their restaurant experience and stuff like that. So there is something to be said about everybody being in one space working together. And so I understand that, you know, oh, maybe the Games Done Quick Marathon should be always online only. And part of the magic is that it's not. Part of the magic of the Games Done Quick Marathons and the ESA Marathons is that they're not online only. They are people all in the same space working together towards putting on an event and enjoying an event. I don't think we should lose that forever just because this is happening. As Sharon Matt says, my local sports radio in New York City are highlighting restaurants and businesses that are still open to this time. Nobody is buying ad space anymore during this time. And Questbus says, yes, it's great to do stuff online, but there's definitely something missing when you're not with people that also share your passion. Yes, like that's why I enjoy going to conventions, because I like being with other people, and I understand there are people that don't, and I totally get that. So moving on to a game that I didn't play as much as I probably should have, but here's the time to drink. VR, time to go into a different reality where virtual characters can get closer than 6 feet to you, and it's fine. It's called Half-Life Alyx. Finally, 13 years after Half-Life 2 Episode 2, we finally get a new Half-Life game. It is Half-Life Alyx. It came out this past Tuesday for all PC VR systems. It was free to owners of the Valve Index, which I've got here, or it's like $50 if you have like an Oculus Quest or not, which yes, you could play it on Oculus Quest or an Oculus Rift or a Windows Mixed Reality headset, whatever you have. And so it came out, and it is essentially the AAA experience that you're waiting for VR. So I did not play it all that much because I'm a scaredy cat. And one thing I do not do well in general is horror and jump scares, which, to be fair, fear is the easiest emotion to evoke in virtual reality, which is why fear is the number one thing that people do in VR. When VR came out, what was the one thing people wanted? Like back in the Oculus Rift days, they wanted Slender Man in VR. They wanted to play all their horror games in VR so that they could have that experience of being scared. And Half-Life has that horror element, and it's got the jump scares. It's got the head crabs that jump and latch onto your head. It's got the barnacles that come down, and if you get too close to them, they start choking you and, you know, all this stuff. So I didn't play it as much as other people. But I did play it a little bit because I figured I needed to be able to see what was going on, how it worked, how it controlled, and stuff like that. But other than that, like, this is the AAA game that you're looking for. There aren't that many AAA length games on VR right now, and I think Half-Life Alyx is going to be the one that everybody talks about. The other two that come to mind, if you have an Oculus Rift, you can get Asgard's Wrath, which is more Oblivion-like. But not actually Oblivion. But that's a really long AAA campaign, and it's more of a fantasy game. And then there's a new Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, is another one that a lot of people talked about. That's a really good AAA-style, long-form VR game, where most of the VR games are pick-up-and-play or they're short, like their tech demo. So we're finally getting in... We're finally getting to the point where we're getting really long-form games that have been spent years in development. Half-Life Alyx was in development for about 4 or 5 years. Not 13 years, but 4 or 5 years. And I am sorry if you do not have VR. There is no way this game would work and be fun without the VR. I apologize. I know you're not going to understand that either. If you've never played VR, you're going to be like, why didn't they tack on mouse and keyboard controls and put it on a monitor? Why didn't they just do that? And it's not because they couldn't. There's no technical reason they couldn't. And in fact, I'm sure there will be a mod at some point that will do that. But the way this game was designed was with VR and hand controllers being used. So the good news is they do have a story difficulty. So if I did get to the shooty section, it'd probably be a little bit easier for me. But I was having a problem because I was aiming down the sights of the gun with the wrong eye, apparently. So I was not hitting things. And I was like, I'm aiming directly at it. And then I'm stereo blind, so I can actually switch with which eye is my dominant eye. And if you watch on Twitch, you've probably seen my lazy eye that I had surgery to correct, and it didn't work when I was like 18 months old, so this is how I live now. But I can switch with which eye I'm using as my dominant eye, and when I switched eyes, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, now I can hit that lock from far away. And Breakman says, ooh, shooty, you have my attention. Yes, well, it's Half-Life. It's a Half-Life first-person shooter starring Alyx, who actually talks, so there's no silent protagonist in this one. And Fifth Room Today says, which eye? I don't remember which eye didn't. I think the left eye was the one where it was not working well, and the right eye was the one where it was, but I can't remember. And Questmaster says, there is already a no VR mod in the wild. So it's got to do more than just make it work on a monitor, because there's a lot of interactions that you have to do with the motion controllers. So you've got to figure out, like, they've got to work in how to do all of those interactions, because there's 3D puzzles where you're holding a ball and you've got to use another tool and you move things around the ball. And so you're moving this and you're moving this at the same time. So it's going to be interesting to see how long it takes that mod to work. But it'll work eventually. Fifth Dream Today says, okay, I was going to buy it, then sue for being discriminatory. I'm blind in the left eye. There are accessibility options that actually do things. You can actually play this game sitting down, and you can turn on that stuff so you don't actually have to bend down. You don't even have to stand. And you're just using the thumbsticks to walk and move around. So you can actually play the game totally in a chair without moving, and still like reach up and down, and you click the left stick to crouch, or you click the right stick to kind of stand on your tippy toes so you can get over things. But they have a whole bunch of accessibility options in there, because they do want to accommodate everybody. And I think the moving of your hands is more important to them than the stereoscope, than the stereo vision. Terclaw asks, Dube, something about the end of the game. I haven't gotten to the end of the game, but there are spoilers out there, and you're more than welcome to look them up and not share them in the chat room, because I don't want anybody getting spoiled in our chat room. And Questpress says, the characters are great, Alyx is fantastic, and Russell is hilarious. Yes, I have gone through some of those interactions. I've gotten to chapter 2, and then that's when, like, you know, the scary music starts and, you know, all the dark rooms and stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to watch this on YouTube. Fishroom Today says, lazy accessible. Not necessarily lazy accessible. I do have a friend who plays VR, and he's in a wheelchair. He works at a gaming website that starts with K. He's not lazy. He just can't use his legs. I don't call that lazy. Fishroom Today says, no, I'm saying I'm lazy. Okay, well, then you're lazy. Lazy Dream Today. But also, like, I don't know if I could play, like, a 17-hour first-person shooter standing up the whole time. So I played it standing up initially, but if I did get back into it, I'd probably just be like, all right, seated mode, let's do this. So they do have the mechanic to pick things up so you're not always crouching down is they have, instead of the gravity gun, they have gravity gloves. And you open up your... essentially, I only know how to do this with the Valve Index controllers, which basically they're called the Knuckles controllers because they wrap around your knuckles. It's not a Sonic the Hedgehog reference. But the way that you grab things that are far away is you open up your hand, which you can't do with other controllers. So I don't know exactly how they do it. But you open up your hand and you kind of point your hand, your fingers toward what you want to grab. Then you make a fist and hold down the trigger. You yank it back, and then you can catch it. And then you put it in your backpack. So that's how you grab items. And so you can grab just about anything and throw it. You can sit around and just play and do anything you want. I don't know how it works with, like, the Oculus Touch controllers or the old 5 controllers or whatever Windows Mixed Reality has. I know they've got some 6 Degree of Freedom controllers. I just know how it works on the Valve Index ones, which Half-Life Alyx is intended to be a showcase of VR technology and the Valve Index technology. And that's why that's why Valve said this is a VR-only game. And they're not going to make a flat-screen version because Valve sees Half-Life as it has to do something to advance the technology. Half-Life, the first Half-Life, you needed a 3D graphics card, a 3DFX Voodoo card or something. You needed that 3DFX card to play it. It was the game that required you to get a 3D card. Half-Life 2 introduced physics engine, and it introduced all that, and it also said you need to have Steam. So that's how it pushed it forward. So Half-Life Alyx, you need to have VR. They don't want to make a game just to make a game. Or rather, Valve doesn't want to make a Half-Life just to make a Half-Life. Valve wants to make a Half-Life to advance the medium and to advance the technology. Half-Life 3, I don't know if it's going to be a VR game or a non-VR game or a hybrid of both, but Half-Life Alyx, if you are okay with kind of horror elements and some jump scare elements, it's not complete jump scare. I believe that it's mild jump scares, but I still don't put myself in the middle of it. And if you have a VR rig, it's definitely worth your time if you have a PC VR rig. Now, I will also say it runs fine on my machine, but I bought an Oculus Ready machine in 2016. So it's got a GTX 980. Half-Life Alyx runs on low settings, but it runs great. So, like, you don't need a beefed-up rig. Any rig that will run VR from 2016 onward can play Half-Life Alyx. So the last story I'm going to talk about is about Epic Games. So Epic Games, we've talked a lot about like the Epic Store and how they're doing these exclusive agreements and how I'm not as much a fan of them as a consumer, but I can understand why game developers would be a huge fan of it. Well, Epic is now upping the ante, and now they're going to become a publisher. So Ars Technica reports that Epic Games Publishing came into formal existence on Wednesday by announcing plans to fund, launch, and promote new multi-platform video games. The announcement hinged on two key points which studios had already signed to Epic Games Publishing and what financial terms developers can expect. While most game publishing details aren't typically laid bare for the public, Epic has already chosen to confirm some of the financial nitty-gritty. They said, in addition to letting studios retain 100% control of their intellectual property, that's a big deal, by the way. That means that as a publisher, they don't own what you build. They don't own the intellectual property. It's not like when Microsoft bought published Halo, Bungie didn't own the Halo IP. Microsoft owned the Halo IP, and so Microsoft could then give Halo to someone else. But this, the developer retains 100% control. They also promise to fund up to 100% of all game development costs. And then once the costs are recouped, Epic says, developers will earn at least 50% of the profits. So essentially, they will pay you up front 100% of the cost to make the game. And then once they make back that money, then it's a 50-50 split or more. And what the Ars Technica article says is that's kind of the reason they're using up to and at least is because if you can get funding from other sources and maybe they only fund 80%, then maybe the terms of the other percentages are fluid. That's the type of stuff we're not going to be privy to, but this is kind of the base part of it. Unsurprisingly, Epic CEO Tim Sweeney described these terms as, quote, the publishing model we always wanted when we were worked with publishers as an independent game studio, unquote. But there are some questions that Epic Games Publishing has not answered yet, such as they say it's multi-platform, but is it on PC? There, you still have to be exclusive to the Epic Game Store. Can you be an Epic Games publisher, game published through Epic Games Publishing and release on Steam? We don't know. They haven't announced that yet. And will the game's console versions launch later than the PC versions to give the Epic Game Store more time of exclusivity? Can partners develop separate games as indie efforts for other publishers while they're part of the deal? So a lot of these we don't know yet. Now, three notable studios have already signed on, and Epic says that each studio will launch its next game through its EGP partnership. Remedy Entertainment first rose to popularity with Max Payne and its latest game, Control. So they're part of it. Playdead launched both of its previous games, the indie darlings Limbo and Inside, with timed exclusivity deals on Xbox consoles. And Gen Design is led by Fumito Ueda, the director responsible for PlayStation exclusive classics Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. Remedy and Playdead and Gen Design are already signed to this. Maybe Playdead will get introduced to colors. I don't know. I know Limbo was all black and white. I can't remember if it was a joke. Those games were great. So it's kind of hard for me to hate on this because this is a dreamy sweetheart deal for game developers, because no other publishing deal will pay for 100% of the development and allow you to keep your IP. Like, that's unheard of, as far as I know. Granted, I don't look at game publishing deals all that often. But this is a really good deal. So I do not fault anybody for being a part of it. And I am going... They haven't said if they're going to block Steam releases if you're part of Epic Games Publishing. So I'm not going to speculate on any of that. I hope they don't. Maybe they can give an incentive but to be exclusive. But if somebody really wants to be on Steam, they still could. But I don't know. HDI Andrew, who has been in the game publishing business for a long time as well, it says, ours always had 100% dev cost plus we kept IP, but that was 15 years ago. So I don't know how things are today. Everything changes all the time. Breakman says, this would be kind of like if Disney paid off George Lucas and let him keep control of Star Wars. Kinda. So we are going to take a very quick music break, like I did last week. And then we're going to see if anybody wants to talk about anything or just to talk to OLR. But we had a lot of stuff to talk about, but I'm going to take a quick music break, and then we will be right back. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the twitch.tv/VOG Network, Voice of Geeks Network.
Wait, you don't know Kamoshida? Are you for real?
For real?
For real?
For real?
What up, everybody? This is Max Mittleman, voice of Saitama and One Punch Man, Ryuji in Persona 5, King in Seven Deadly Sins, and a whole host of other characters. You are participating in the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Get it!
For real?
For real.
For real?
For real?
For real?
Yeah, the Persona 5 bumper. Persona 5 Royal on Tuesday. More for reals coming up. It was also announced that Max Mittleman in that bumper, he is the voice of Red 13 in Final Fantasy VII Remake. That was announced this week. So he is also in Final Fantasy VII Remake. For real. So real quick, before we kind of move on, I do want to mention that we actually have, because we are part of, and this is a new term for it, and unfortunately, HDI Andrew left, so he's not going to hear this part. But the Georgia Influencers Network, I called it the Georgia Live Streaming Network last week, and it changed its name this week. The Georgia Influencers Network, which is basically a cross-promotional effort between other influencers, I guess, here in Georgia. And they are some streams coming up. March 31st is going to have some streams that you may be interested in. So at 5 o'clock Eastern, so that's 2 o'clock Pacific in the afternoon, Georgia Game Developer Association Executive Director Bill Bridges will be taking an inside look at the design of the Fading Suns role-playing game. And then at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, Dr. Unity, it's James Simpson. He actually did Snarf Quest Tales. We've actually had him on the show twice before we were on video, so back when the audio versions. Dr. Unity will be continuing his series of Unity development. It's great for anyone who wants to learn more about how to make something in Unity. So it's called the Georgia Influencers Network. I am proud to be a part of it. A couple of them were here tonight. It looks like MZ Ultra is also part of it, so thank you for still being here. And yes, I did read all the stuff. So, but yeah, the Kickstarter for the Fading Suns role-playing game, it did start. It is called Fading Suns Pax Elixius, I believe is how it's pronounced. But it came out, and it is now available on Kickstarter. They've already met their goal. So congrats to them, but it's going to be a new role-playing game in the Fading Suns universe. And congratulations to them on making the goal, and it's going to be a great thing. That's been a universe that's been around for a long, long time. And glad that we're still things are still happening on that. Questbuster says, nice to hear Fading Suns getting love. I remember the old tabletop game from years ago. Very cool setting. Yeah, so HDI Andrew, who is in here, he works on this. This is when him and Bill Bridges work on this. And so we may actually be talking to them here on the show on some night that Tommy Tallarico isn't going to be on the show, which we're still going to work those out. And I will put in the show notes the link to the Kickstarter, as well as I am also putting it in our chat room here at Twitch. But it will also be in on the VogNetwork.com page for this episode. So usually we take calls, but I talked a lot thanks to VR. So one day we will actually take a live call again like we used to. All you do is in our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, go to the Green Room chat channel, make yourself visible in there, and then usually the music break should actually be 30 minutes into the show, not 50. So that's why we haven't done it. But people haven't really been in there recently, which is cool. It's totally fine. That's why we have chat. As Jaron and Matt says, Tommy will be talking straight for 3 weekends, might be booked for a while. We can only hope. We can only hope. So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California that talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them. Hopefully I'm actually calling the right place just because I don't know which account to call anymore. But Sacramento, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and you got the right account. Yeah,
I picked the right one.
We'll be on this until further notice with all the temporary changes we have had to do around here.
Did you wake up sassy?
I did. Yes, I did. This is actually a coffee mug that Dark Soccer got me.
Yeah. So I see your Pokemon have evolved on your couch.
Yes. Alan took time today to actually set this up, because what you don't see when it's not Sunday is that all the clean laundry unfolded is on this couch. So he got rid of all that earlier today and made a nice little spread, because he's like, oh yeah, you have OLR tonight, huh? So I thought it was really funny, so I kept it the way it was. He laid everything out very nicely.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to do some set dressing. If you watch on the podcast, I actually change what's behind me just about every week, and I do it on purpose. It relates somehow to what we're talking about. So yes, I take set decoration very seriously as well.
No, these are just the toys that have been laying around the house for a long time. I don't take too much. But if you've watched OLR over the past year, we've been on Twitch, little things have been added to it. For example, some of the newer Pokemon that we didn't have yet. I got those when I was in New York in November. Mm-hmm. So there's, and there'll be more to come, too. One of those GameStops that's closing, Loki talked about this a little bit on last week's show, is local to us. And he made friends with some of the people there and is trying to get some of their old promo stuff that maybe we can rotate some of the backgrounds we have here at OLR. We'll see.
That's cool. So how has your Animal Crossing been for the past week?
It's been good. I haven't been going as hard at it as some people I know that have, you know, already, like, every single day they're doing exactly, like, everything you can do with that game. Some people I know are already working on, like, paying off their upstairs, which is, like many, many rooms into the house. For me, I'm moving at a me pace, but I think I'm still moving fairly briskly. I just, the campsite opened today,
yeah,
for those that are following along. So I don't think I'm maybe a day or two behind,
yeah,
like the maximum place you could be, but I'm taking it pretty leisurely. I'm just having a good time with it. I enjoy going to visit other friends' towns. That's fun, which I clearly need to come visit Black Wolf Island or whatever, yeah, you're calling it, because oranges were what I started with. So if that's what you need, I have plenty.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I actually have not done any of the online stuff yet. Like, I haven't opened my gates or done any of that, because a lot of times when I'm playing, it's like midnight or something. So,
controversial hot take, I'm not sure it's as good as previous games. One of the things I really miss is being able to write letters to the different villagers, and then the villagers will show those letters. Now, I can understand for maybe like safety, security, online report moderation types of reasons, they did not want people writing letters containing language unsafe for the Bobby Blackwolf Show for me to repeat, that the villagers would then show off. So maybe that, but I thought that was kind of one of the really like fun things. But I will say, you know, watching some of the creativity, I think, you know, I'm not even looking at chat, but I'm sure somebody's got to be bringing up the wedding that was supposed to take place in real life. Obviously, what's going on in the world, made that not happen. So they did it in Animal Crossing. Some people working at home through Animal Crossing, you know, very tongue-in-cheek working, and so on. So it is interesting to see the multiplayer usage in that regard. I kind of miss that feature. That was one of the really fun things in the old games.
Yeah. No, and I remember, like, because they had the whole, like, it wasn't really AI, but, like, they analyzed what your letter said, and so certain words would trigger certain things, and there was that whole thing going on. And I do. I kind of miss that part of, like, oh, I got letters from, I have gotten letters from some of my residents, but it's not like this. I'm not spending like half the time typing out a letter to people, and I do kind of miss that part a little bit.
Which, by the way, pro tip, speaking of typing, the Animal Crossing game is a really good reason to dust off or reinstall the Nintendo app on your phone.
Yeah.
Sure, there's voice chat, but you can also use text keyboard when friends are visiting, and it is much easier than trying to use the R trigger to try to chat with people. It's also the only way you can scan QR codes.
Yes.
So I'm sure many of you have seen people are doing crazy stuff with the QR codes, because I think there's websites like convert regular pictures. Yeah, so there's tons of stuff out there. And the only way to scan the QR code right now that I know of is through the app. So a reminder, Nintendo has an app. You may have forgot, and I understand. Animal Crossing is a good reason to dust it off, finally.
I finally installed it for the first time.
There you go.
I did not have it before. And then I also got my 3DS. Because in the way I got the QR codes was I opened up my old copy of New Leaf, which I hadn't been in 6 years. That's what all my villagers told me. I did not play the Amiibo update at all. So it was like introducing me to the Amiibo update when I went in. But I actually have my little Wolfie logo. I actually have the VOG logo, and I have the VOG G by itself.
Forgot we made a VOG logo for Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
I should get that QR code for me.
So,
can you put the QR code like in our Discord?
I'm going to. Well, see, I got to go get that stupid little screwdriver because it's on the 3DS XL, and in order to get the SD card out, you have to get that number zero screwdriver to take apart the 3DS to get the SD card out so I can put it in a computer and get it. But I do actually have the screenshots of it, so it's just I got to get the screwdriver and get to it. And then I'll post them up.
All right.
I will try to post it tonight. Dark Tetsuya is even asking. So I was going to. It's just I haven't done it yet. But I've got a number zero screwdriver somewhere around here. So I can.
Well, now you had to go and say something. So now everybody wants it.
Yep. I will do it during OLR. How about that?
There you go.
That way it'll be ready by the time everybody hears this. And Fifth Dream today says you can also just use it from the web. Go to the site and upload. And I actually tried that. But the actual version that's in my New Leaf game is actually better than the ones that gave. I think because my logo is just a black outline on white, and when I put it in that acpatterns.com site, it like really grayed it up and it didn't catch all the things. So I actually preferred the version that was in my DS, so I will go grab that.
I don't know what all those sites do, too, but like the credit for who made the pattern is like hard-coded in that QR code. So yes. I don't know if those like websites allow you to change that or if they kind of hard-code their own stuff in it.
So, no, what acpatterns.com does, because it was made for New Leaf. So AC Patterns was at least made for New Leaf. They basically say you create a pattern in New Leaf and then get that screenshot and you can upload it there. It will read the QR code because the hard-coded thing is in your copy of New Leaf. And so so that way when you import it back into New Leaf, you can edit it because it's your city's thing. But you have to have created something and then they basically attach that series of it's probably a GUID, which is a programmer term. But they actually embed that, and it's not related to the name in the town, which you can set on like AC Patterns. But you basically had to do some trickery. They upload it. They find that hard-coded value, and that's how it sets it to your town. But obviously that's not going to work in it's not going to work in New Horizons because we don't have QR codes to pull that info from.
Yeah, but yet I know when I've been – because there's like videos out there of stuff that's carried over from New Horizons. And when I pull them over, it'll have somebody else's town. Some of them have been Japanese text. So yeah. It's just kind of interesting. Some of that's carrying over.
Yeah. No. Well, on AC Patterns, you can set like the name and the town that it came from, but it doesn't actually register as you. And that's why – but that's more New Leaf. That's so you can edit the pattern in New Leaf after you scan it in.
Patterns, they're fun.
Yeah. And so I actually have some of them like on the ground. Like when you come out of my airport, the Vogue logo and the Wolfie logo is there. And I've actually using the exact same town theme that I've used in all Animal Crossing games. And that's the Katamari Damacy theme.
Oh, that's nice. No, mine is Mamma Mia by ABBA.
Unfortunately, the fight song for the University of Georgia doesn't really translate well to Animal Crossing. So that's why I don't use that. So. But I've had the Katamari Damacy like first measure or so has been like since the GameCube version, not right when it came out because the GameCube game came out before Katamari Damacy. But since then,
it's an acceptable alternative.
Yeah. So what else are you guys going to be talking about on OLR tonight?
Well, we're going to go through the weekend news. It may seem like not a lot's been going on because a lot of us have been in our homes, many of us. I know not everybody, but you know, from my perspective, there's a lot of folks under the shelter-in-place stuff right now. Even if you're not under shelter-in-place, it's probably a good idea to stay indoors as much as possible, which you said you've been doing, Bobby. Mm-hmm. Save your Best Buy trips, which is fine because we went to Cheesecake Factory last night for curbside pickup.
Yeah.
But you know, it's probably just as many germs that way.
Yeah.
But it's just we carry the hand sanitizer with us. Take care of it that way. Mm-hmm. But some of the things we will talk about tonight. Ooh, it's not just GameStop that considers themselves an essential business. Other game stores getting into that as well. And we will also talk about an initiative from the World Health Organization and gaming, kind of launching this hashtag awareness campaign. Play a part together. So we'll talk a little bit about that on tonight's show as well. I know, we kind of want to escape the real world, but at the same time, I think there's things we can kind of do in light of what's going on in the real world. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And gaming has actually been a huge part of keeping us sane, I think, during this whole time. So we'll talk about that as well. And I can't believe you didn't get to this, Bobby. So we'll talk plenty about the Nintendo Direct that happened this week.
Oh, yeah. Because I only care about one thing in the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, it's a big one for me, too.
Clubhouse games. That's the only one I care about. I'm like, yes, a new Clubhouse games. Because that was what was in my 3DS when I took it out to put New Leaf in so I could get those QR codes. Like, I am still playing the DS version to this day. It's good. And I understand, like, people are like, oh, but it's $40 and stuff. And I'm like, it's I probably paid $30 for it, and I got 1,000 hours out of it.
Yeah, and I think the original let you play online, too.
Yes.
And that was a lot of mileage out of that. And so this new one being online will be really cool, too.
Yeah. So, my 3DS isn't in here right now where you'd see Clubhouse games in it again. So, no, I didn't get to it because I already overloaded. Well, there was Half-Life Alyx. I had a Half-Life game to talk about.
No, I understand, which is something we, you know, I don't – I don't have VR. I don't know if Loki played it or not. I guess we'll find out. So I got nothing to say on Half-Life Alyx. Usually I would go, I know I have a friend that would have loved to have shown me Half-Life Alyx this week, but alas, yeah. Can't do that right now.
It'll still be around.
That is very true.
We're all in this apart.
Yes, we're all in this apart.
Orange Sound Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come live. Join us here and interact with us directly. You can leave me a bumper. All you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice or a link to a video to bumpers@BobbyBlackwolf.com or join our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord, and contact me and we can work out how to get that to work right now. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackwolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackwolf, Instagram @BobbyBlackwolf. I'm not really using the Instagram right now. One day I will. Or twitch.tv/BobbyBlackwolf, where I'm not going to be streaming Half-Life Alyx because I really don't need to be streaming that. You can also submit feedback on episode pages over at VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this show work without the help of the chatters. So I want to thank that we actually had some new follows. So thank you, MZ Ultra and Sean322 and Rare Pinball. Thank you so much for the follows. Really, really appreciate it. And we also had some resubscriptions that happened over the past week. So thank you so much to, let's see if I can pull some of these up. Tiger Claw resubscribed about 5 days ago. Rob Roberts resubscribed about 2 days ago. So I'm still going to give you your props. So thank you so much for resubscribing, even though you resubscribed during the week. I'm going to hit the little button here that says I have 20 seconds left to tell you to wash your hands and take care of yourself mentally as well as physically. This is not an easy time for a lot of us, and it's okay to ask for help. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.